Hot diggity dog, we have a man of the cloth in the green room and a woman who is not of the cloth.
In the radio
You're
red.
You're going to give me a reputation.
Now, Laura Sievert, you have a great reputation. Everywhere I go, I hear your name. I'm in the store. Did you hear what Laura Sievert did? Did you hear what Laura Sievert did?
I always say, please, until I'm done making my purchase, talk about somebody else. I'm sick and tired of hearing about how wonderful Laura Sievert is. But we really never get tired of that. Let's talk about a full Arts Quincy Arts Beat, because Blues in the District, the final concert. You're sad.
I don't know. How did the end of the summer get here? I want to know. I'm pretty sure that it was just June 1st, and we were talking about all the things we had going for summer. But here we are at our final Blues in the District, of course, happening this Friday at Washington Park. It is the Avery Groves Band. I hope I'm saying that right. It's not one I'm familiar with, but I've never seen a bad act in that park, so I'll just go with it, you know. Of course, Noon Blues will feature local musicians at the park from about 11:30 to about 1:15, and that's all free. And, you know, Quincy is so lucky, Quincy and Hannibal, to have these music series that are free and open to the public. You know, bring your own food if you want. Of course, they have food for purchase on site, but boy, it is a community gathering spot and something people look forward to every year. So here we are celebrating the end of that season. I must not get choked up, but this Friday. And similarly, Music Under the Stars and Hannibal on Thursday. So I kind of did these in reverse, but Music Under the Stars on Thursday.
Yeah, but it's not their last show, because they're going to extend to September 2nd because
of weather,
they had a
problem.
Cancellation because of weather. So usually Steppin' Back Band opens and closes.
Right.
The Steppin' Back Band is this Thursday night from 7 to 9, but then on September 2nd, Stonehill Band.
Right, is rescheduled. From the weather cancellation. So that's exciting. So at least we'll have one more week in Hannibal. I think that sounds great.
Bring your little, here's what you do, folks. You sit outside, the sun's going down, put a bottle of water with a mister, like a squint, you know,
yeah,
like you do to, like a Windex, but don't use Windex.
Right.
But put that in your refrigerator and get it nice and cold, or even put part of it on its side in the refrigerator, get half of it full of ice, half of it, you know, and then you just spritz yourself every once in a while.
That sounds cool, lovely.
When I lived in Hannibal for 9 years, I had no air conditioning.
Oh, my.
So in the summer, I would put a fan in my window blowing towards me, and I would just take my little spritzer bottle and just spritz myself every once in a while with a cool, refreshing breeze.
I'll tell you, the spritz that I've been using a lot of lately is Buggins. This is my own commercial for Buggins. I don't know what's going on in my yard, but we got those little bitey gnat things. I'm not having it. So spritz that, too. It's cool and refreshing.
Get a gallon of gasoline.
Okay.
Ignite your entire yard.
Burn the yard down.
Burn the yard down.
Okay.
No, that's not a good idea. So Music Under the Stars is this Thursday night from 7 to 9, and again on September 2nd. Thursday night, Stepping Back. They're always so popular. And then Blues in the District Friday night in Quincy, 5:30 to 9:30 at Washington Park. And then the art shows and exhibits, they're so pent up that nobody could come and see.
Right.
Wow, people are really going nuts away, and they want to see everything there is to see.
They are everywhere. And our own Jenna Seaborn, who is the marketing director here at Arts Quincy, responsible for the amazing Arts Quincy magazines that we do, she's also the curator of the John Wood Gallery, and they were out hanging that exhibit yesterday. So I know people are going to be really, really excited. There's a textile piece there that I'm interested to see in person. It's like a big, what do I want to call it, almost like a cape made out of botanicals. So just really interesting artwork out of John Wood. But of course, all of the exhibits.
So instead of my coat of many colors, it's my coat of many flowers.
Something like that.
That my
yeah.
mother made for me.
Okay. Yeah, like herbs and I don't know. It's going to be, it's an interesting one. I can't wait to read the artist statement
have to
about
it.
Right. It's very, and that's true of any mixed media and textile pieces. They're often, you know, abstract and make a person think. So I really like that, and it seems to fit the fall theme for me is what I like about it. But there's lots of galleries in Quincy. So Artist Guild is now partnering with Cheryl Loach Studio and has an exhibition out there. I think they're going to continue that partnership. They're actually meeting there at Cheryl Loach's studio. Love that partnership that's been formed. Gray Gallery and John Wood, Gray Gallery at QU and John Wood both have their faculty shows underway, both until the end of September. The Quincy Art Center has two new exhibits that open this month, including those satellite exhibits at the Quincy Medical Group. And then Quincy Museum and History Museum on the Square all have artwork, too. I really like the Everett Gallery over across the street here. If you haven't been to the Everett Gallery, they were discovered in a thrift store. These 1860s, somebody's going to tell me I'm wrong about that, but I think it's 1860s paintings of Quincy in the riverfront were discovered in a thrift store, and they ended up buying back most of the collection and displaying it up here at the History Museum. So
yeah, that's a great story. I don't have all the details, but some local person that's well known was just over rummaging around and went, oh.
Yes.
And curated how that all got together with the money changing hands.
Right.
That's really interesting.
Exactly. And I just think that's a great story and bring back some really cool views. I think what's neat about those pieces are, they're going to give you a look at what Quincy was like at that time. You're going to see industries on the river and riverboats and horses and a square made of dirt roads. And I mean, it's just really pretty fun to look at. So I really like that art exhibit. Yeah.
Okay, then real quick, the Sunday Stroll for George. We've been pushing this, even though it's not until September 12th. But we want everybody to mark their calendar for Sunday, September 12th, because a man who did probably more for Quincy than a lot of other people, he's got to be in the top 100 people who ever contributed to Quincy, and that was George Irwin. He founded the Society of Fine Arts, and Arts Quincy lives on in his name. And they're going to have a walk for him at Bill Klinger Trail, but it's not the kind of walk where you put a number on your chest and you're trying to make time. It is a walk through the trail from 18th to 24th, where you will be regaled by all of the volunteer organizations that George Irwin helped support, found, fund.
Right. It's hard to find an organization in the nonprofit world that he hadn't touched. So we actually have more people coming on to this event as soon as yesterday. I had somebody say, hey, I really want to be a part of that. So we are adding to it, and we're excited about all of the buzz it's getting. Along the trail, you'll see some community favorites. So let me just see if I can tick off a few that will be there. We have the Quincy Symphony Orchestra, the Quincy Symphony Choir, the Quincy Concert Band, the Quincy Senior High School. The Art Center will be there with some of George's actual personal collection, his permanent collection, including a Cezanne that is just so cool. And then one by Margaret Bull, of course, of the Lorenzo Bull House. So visual art there. The River City Strings from Javeau School will be there. We have a harp player in Sarah Bourne. We have a pianist. We just found power for our pianist, so we have Ned Berensmeyer on piano. Muddy River Opera Company will be there. Who am I missing?
Quincy Community Theater.
The theater will be there. They haven't decided quite what they're doing. I'm excited to see what they end up doing.
They haven't asked me yet. I'm sure it's a one-woman performance by me.
I told them they should have a show tune karaoke machine, and I'd just let people come, right? Like, I just come up and sing.
That would be
something.
Great.
What song would you sing?
Old Man River, because
wow.
It's right in my range.
What would I sing? I would sing I Got Rhythm. Who could ask for anything more? I've got
rhythm. Could ask for anything more?
There you go. Okay. I think rhythm's probably my go-to if I had to go sing show tunes. So you can't go wrong with Gershwin at all. So
well, yes, I can.
I mean, we could definitely go wrong, but we're gonna go on. That's what I kind of so we'll see what they do. But yeah, all these community partners and organizations are coming together. When you talk about the theater, for example, George Irwin rescued the theater. It closed during World War II, and he was the chair of the reorganization committee to keep the little theater here. So he founded the Quincy Symphony. He founded the Quincy Civic Music Association. I mean, these places that are iconic and have been around for 100 years or near so, he was crucial in making that happen. So really, a tribute to a great man, but also a great time for the community. Just take a stroll, little stroll along the trail, hear live music, see great visual art. Who knows what the theater will have you doing at their stop, and it'll be a terrific time for everybody, yeah.
Okay, Laura Sievert from Arts Quincy. Remember,
One more quick thing. We have some of you know that we had to cancel our blood drive yesterday because of a gas leak at the hotel that we moved over to the Atrium Hotel. We are rescheduling that, and I'm going to get a date back to folks. But I wanted to thank people who signed up, and I'm very sorry that we had to cancel that.
I'm sorry you had a gas leak. Yeah. Oh, at the hotel. Okay.
Married.
Laura, now Laura, remember, next week I'm on super double secret probation.
Right.
I'm quarantined at home away from Steve.
Right.
Not because I have COVID, but because I annoy him. So we will see you in 2 weeks.
I will be out at brunch. No, that's probably not true. I'll have a merry break brunch. But I only get 10 minutes, so it'll be
that's
good.
That's right. Okay. I'll see you in 2 weeks. Thank you very much. We are joined by Wayne Zimmerman. He is a deacon in the Catholic Church. He serves at St. Francis Parish at 17th and College. And we're going to learn a little bit about a program that he's been running for the past couple of years called Catholics Returning Home. And it's really become kind of problematic in a lot of religions. Parents are really disturbed. Their children don't follow the faith tradition, and they wonder what they can do to kind of maybe turn them back toward the church. But first, let's meet Wayne Zimmerman. Of course, most known in his youth as one of the people who made you a chili dog and a lemon cone at Zim's Dairy Store. And from then, it's just been all downhill as far as I'm concerned. No. Welcome very much to the program, Deacon Wayne Zimmerman.
Well, thank you, Mary.
I'm a former employee. So
yes.
You and Steve Bull can sit and talk about how difficult it
co-worker,
is.
We share that distinction. Yeah.
Yes. And you were both my bosses, and I never obeyed anything any of you ever said. What else is new? But you grew up here in Quincy, and let's talk a little bit about you've become a deacon. What is a deacon in the Catholic Church, and how do you become one?
Well, a deacon is ordained clergy. We receive holy orders, just like the priests and the bishops, but our order is the order of deacon, we're not priests. We can assist at Mass. We can perform weddings outside of Mass, funerals, baptisms. We should be helping in charity, like at the food pantry, which I've started doing, and just helping the priest serve the people of God whenever, wherever, and whenever we're needed.
Wherever your priest says, Deacon Wayne, I need you here, that's what you do.
That's right.
If you want to teach religion class at St. Francis or whatever you're assigned
whatever
to.
Whatever it is.
And the real distinction is, though, that you're a married man with children and grandchildren.
Yeah, and it's a funny thing because I'm a permanent deacon, so the plan is not to become a priest. And ordained men cannot get married, but men who are married can become ordained. And it's just the way it is. I think what they want to avoid, one of the things, just on my personal thing, the thing that it avoids is the pastor of the church dating. Think about it.
Yeah.
Probably would not be the best situation. So
Helen, you are married.
Yes.
If Helen would pass, and God hope she doesn't,
nope.
At least for a very long time, but you could then decide to become a priest.
But that's not the plan.
Right.
Yeah.
But you would have to remain single.
That's right.
Then.
Regardless. Now, right. If I leave this world, Helen is then free to do whatever she wants.
And oh, but how could she improve
that would
on
be
her
up
current
to her,
situation?
So whatever she would want to do. So
but
she does say one is enough. One is enough. It's not eight is enough. One is enough. Yeah.
But you have children and you have grandchildren. And
yes.
So it's an interesting thing. And this is one of the interesting things about the Catholic Church. Our deacons can be married.
Yes.
But they still are in holy orders, but you cannot.
We have to be married before we're ordained. Yes.
Because everybody becomes a deacon before they become a priest, but that's a temporary deacon.
It's called transitional deacon.
They're just training to be a priest, so that's their apprentice years, right?
Well, that's one way of looking at it, but there are priests that realize that once you're a deacon, priests are deacons. They have a diaconal element of their service. And then they are also priests, and they have priestly elements of their service. So I think that the priests who have a really mature idea of who they are is that they are deacons and they are priests. Bishops emphasize the fact that they're deacons and priests and bishop. It's just Yeah, it's not temporary. I would not use that word. I would use transitional.
Transitional, because transitional. They are transitioning into another call of holy orders. Well,
my parish has gotten used, since all my kids and grandkids live in Montana, parish and my priests have gotten used to me not being around at Christmas time, because I'm going to be with the grandkids on Christmas morning, you know, if we can.
Yeah.
Last Christmas was problematic with
COVID.
Everything. Yeah.
Well, I was at church a few weeks ago, and some of your kids were there from Montana. You got a little choked up introducing your
Yes,
family.
I did. It was,
you're proud of your kiddos.
That, you know, you don't plan on that, but, you start, and then, boom, it wells up from somewhere, and it was just a simple thing. They were visiting 4th of July weekend, and I just wanted to introduce them, and the emotion got there, so anyway, we rode that out. It was fun.
It was fun. Well, now we've met Wayne Zimmerman, and he is a deacon in the Catholic Church, and it means he took a lot of training and knows a lot about theology. But the most important thing, because I've known Wayne Zimmerman since I was 16 years old, I think the most important thing is you've always given good advice and good counsel.
Oh.
And for this Catholics returning home, it's not, I mean, this one is specifically for the Catholic Church that you're running, but there are so many people out there listening who say, I don't understand it. I raised my kids in the Catholic faith, or I raised my kids in the Lutheran faith. We were so faithful. We went to church every Sunday. I sent them to parochial school. They went to vacation Bible school at Columbus Road Baptist Church, and now they're fallen away.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard sometimes to get people to come back from falling away. And what are some of the biggest impediments, Deacon Zimmerman?
Well, this is two issues, really. We're getting away a little bit from the program that we're going to put together. But in general terms, one of the things we say in our Christian faith is that we're sons and daughters of God. Okay. And when we say that, we have to realize that God doesn't have grandsons and granddaughters. That our children, as they grow up, then in some way, shape, or form, we do our best to pass on the faith. But in some way, they must take on that sonship and that daughtership on their own. They must come to a moment of adult acceptance. And sometimes it happens early. Sometimes you'll have a child of 5 or 6 or 8 who takes on that adult faith. Sometimes it's 20, sometimes it's 30, 40. Who knows? We cannot dictate someone else's spiritual journey, their faith journey. So if there are parents or grandparents out there who their children have not continued the practice of the faith, if in your heart you believe that you did your best, and I would say that you probably have. I mean, we do all do our best, because the best is the best, whatever that best is. It really is up to our children to take on what we've given them. The gifts that are given have to be accepted, okay? So if you have a child who, you know, there's prayer, there's keeping the lines of communication open, being accepting and open and inviting. That's it. And it still is up to everyone to accept that sonship and daughtership of God.
So. Okay. Now, let's get into what this particular program is. So parents can continue to try to teach their adult children, but you have to change your relationship. You know, you can't spank them if they, you know, disobey.
Right.
You can't say you'll eat your lima beans when you
right.
come to my house, or,
right.
you know, no dessert for you. You have to treat them like adults. But maybe that's where you have an adult-to-adult conversation. And that's hard for parents to do sometimes, because they still want to try to instruct their kids as if they're children.
And sometimes it's just a matter of living our lives as the best example of Christian life. And that's the best we can do, is be good examples. So I believe that most parents do their best, and I can't judge.
Right. Well, I don't think it's a fault of the parent if somebody strays away from the church, because they will have experiences that the parent doesn't have, and they'll have influences the parent mm-hmm. doesn't have. So this Catholics Returning Home right. is a way for people to try to re-enter the Catholic Church, in this case in particular. And so you're going to have these sessions. They're going to, first one is Wednesday night, September 8th. So it's at 6:30 at St. Francis. And for folks who are not now practicing or participating, what are you? What will they be seeking when they come this first evening, or what do you think they'll try to be finding when they come this first evening?
Well, yes, this is for people who are not church going now, but want to, or at least want to inquire, or at least are open to it. And it's six sessions. I think the last session would be October 13th, and the first two are just open discussion, basically. We do have some ways to frame that, but it's discussion. And then the third one, we'll have one or two team members talk about what they do in the church. And then that sort of starts discussion, too. The fourth one, we talk about the Mass. And I found a really cool way of looking at it. The fifth one, we talk about reconciliation, about what it is, the sacrament of reconciliation, what it is, what it isn't. And then the sixth one, we just talk about our faith. We just go through the Nicene Creed, the same creed that we say at Sunday Mass. I want to get back and correct you. We've been doing this for 12 years.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes. When I was ordained in 2009, had my first real official meeting with Father Kurt Hartridge, the pastor at the time at St. Francis. And he said, this is what I want you to do. I want you to start a program for people who want to return to the church. So I did my thing, which is got about six books on this, all really good things. But I found one book written by a woman named Sally Muse, and she's from... or was from Minnesota. And she was a woman who had left the church and came back and saw that there was really nothing to help her come back into the church. So she did the best thing. She wrote one. And everything that we do is based on her book. And so we've done it periodically. We don't do it like every fall or every whatever. We just, you know, of course, we haven't been able to do it with
COVID. Yeah.
And it's not, you know, I'm going to be honest, you know, there won't be 20, 30, 40 people show up. It might be 2, 3, 4, 6, you know, that kind of thing. But the people that come after we have this discussion, after they're able to tell their story and we have a faith sharing, the things that happen in people's hearts and in families is deep. It's very deep. When I'm at Mass, I can look out sometimes and see 2, 3, 4 people that have gone through the program. You know, the lector might have been somebody who's been through the program. The lady who decorates the church, might be one. It's just an amazingly wonderful program. It's amazingly wonderful people I come in contact with. I've been lucky to have a very fine team of people who do two things. They love the church, they love Jesus, and they also recognize the at times failures the church has done and the shortcomings that the people in the church are apt to do. We recognize that it is humans on earth, you know. So,
okay,
it's very cool.
Very cool. We're going to stop right there. We're going to take a break. We'll come back. We'll continue this. If you want more information, you can call 430-7792, 430-7792. Again, it's just a way for you to start to re-enter. It's almost like, well, I haven't played tennis for a while, but I still have the racket, and I can go buy, you know, some new Wilson balls at, you know, the sporting goods, and I can maybe just head down to Reservoir Park and see who's there. And if anybody is at my level, which is Rusty, I'll maybe ask him if they'd like to get me back into tennis. Well, it's the same thing with the church. You might be a little bit rusty, a little bit out of practice, but this is how you get back in. We're back. Talk Radio 930 WTAD. Wayne Zimmerman and I reminiscing about high school days. We were talking, it's Banana Split Day.
Is it really?
The dairy store had a great banana split.
Well, it has been a lot of years. And
it has.
When
did Zim's close?
Well, my mother retired in 81 or 82,
okay.
And then after that, I don't know.
Yeah.
So, of course, the building's gone, and
oh, yeah.
They've got the...
That's where the business center is now, pretty much, yeah.
Now, so.
Yeah.
That was when they tore it down... I didn't realize how cheap that building was until they
went to knock it over.
The floor of the building, the floor of the store, was the same concrete slab as the parking lot. So they must have poured the parking lot and then put up the walls. But I'll tell you what, it was like, oh my gosh, because when they took the building down, the parking lot was there, and the linoleum was still in the outline of the building. It's so funny.
That's hysterical. Yeah. But you know, your family, I mean, your dad and mom raised children and put them through high school and college on that Zim's Dairy
That's
store.
Right.
So
they
that
put
that
food on the table.
Pretty phenomenal. And of course, I worked there. That was one of my first jobs. I planted geraniums, I think, at the Freeze Nursery. So
okay.
that business still stayed in business.
Yeah, that's right.
I didn't drive them out of business like I'm sure I did. But you remember the days we had lemon custard? Oh, my goodness. You
people
know you were going to get a rush.
People would come in and see if we didn't have it. Then they would say, I'll be back when
yeah.
you do.
They're so. Not going to And so we started
that
making
vanilla
it.
And chocolate
we
stuff.
We started
I
making
don't...
pints and quarts so that we could
yeah.
serve it on days
that's
even
right.
when we didn't have it in the soft serve machine. Well, anyway, we digress.
That's funny.
We're not talking about going back to Zim's Dairy Store. Where the chili dog recipe, if I could get my hands on that chili... recipe, I would pay millions for it. I just want to say that. So if you have any interest in selling that recipe, it might have passed away with Mama. Deacon Wayne Zimmerman is here.
It really didn't.
I know. You probably haven't. I want it. He's here talking about Catholics returning home. And this is something that he's been doing now for 12 years, he tells me, where you just have casual meetings with people to talk about why aren't you going to church anymore? What made you maybe fall away? But here are the ways back. Because it's not so much what happened in the past, it's how we move forward in the future. Because everybody quits going to church for a different reason. They married out of their faith, or they just got lazy, or maybe they got a job on Sunday, and then they didn't go for a year. And then after that, it was like, well, I haven't been for a year, should I go back?
You sort of hit the nail on the head there. If you asked 10 or 20 people what is the why of why you're not going to church, And it doesn't have to be the Catholic Church. It could be the Lutheran, whatever church it is. You might get 20 different answers. You might not, but you might get 20 different answers. So I don't want to frame it too close.
Right. It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter why. If you have a desire to come back and are open to it, let's say, come. The other thing is when we listen to folks tell their story, part of the thing that comes up is why they're coming back. And again, if you ask 20 people why they're coming back, there could be 20 different answers. So I don't want to get too much right now into the reasons for it. I'd rather get into the what we do, because if we would mention a whole list of reasons
right.
and someone, well, that's not why I came back. So, you know, so
it doesn't matter
it
why.
Doesn't matter.
The why
really
doesn't
why.
Matter.
Doesn't
is
matter
how
why.
The procedure works to try to get back in. And part of it is just rhythm and routine and learning a few things. And frankly, the fact that just as God is an all forgiving God, He forgives people who've done things wrong, whether it's you or whether it's people who've done things wrong against you. And so we have to move forward in our own faith journey. The number one argument, though, I hear from people is, well, I don't need to go to a building
mm-hmm.
to worship God. True.
People
I don't
make
need,
that argument.
Yeah,
yes.
I don't need to go to a building to have a relationship with God. But, you know, God didn't walk around and have 12 individual people at 12 different towns that he just visited with one-on-one. There's a community aspect.
He didn't
aspect.
Do retail.
Yeah, he didn't do retail. And I think that's what people are looking for. When they want to come back, don't you think they want the community again?
Well, to get back to what you said, there are people that will say, I can encounter God on my own. And that is true. And you said that was true. But scripturally, Jesus... preached to community. He preached to all. You know, when he fed the people, it was 5,000. It wasn't the feeding of one or two, or it was the fee fed 5,000 or whatever.
Right.
Whatever the, you know, whichever synoptic you're reading, you know, the number. But Christianity, in my way of thinking, and I think it's a communal religion. It's a communal way of getting together. We get together to be able, we get together as a group, whether it's the Baptists or whoever, again, we get together as a group so that we can go out into the world alone. The feeding, the sustaining, the nourishing comes in the group on Sunday, and then we go out into the world either to our families and maybe by ourselves. But it's like that. It's like that. You have a fire burning, okay, and there's the logs have to be placed in a certain way for that convection to work and the fire to keep going. And have you ever seen a fire and then one log or a piece of wood rolls off and it goes out because it's not in the fire? It was on fire, but it rolls off and now it's not on fire. So the feeding that we receive from the group, the nourishing we get from the group, the whatever we get as humans comes from a group, not just and only by ourselves. I don't want to dismiss the by ourselves, but because solitude and
prayer and solitude,
prayer and solitude is very important. But it's not an either or. It's a both and. Me, as you know, as a Christian person, I need the group, but I need my time alone, and I need both because there's a dialogue between the two.
This dialogue, of course, can be facilitated. And again, whatever your reason was, it doesn't matter. And whatever your reason for staying away, it doesn't matter. That's not what they're going to be concentrating on. They're going to be concentrating on you as a person now. Where are you now? And how can we help you on your spiritual journey and maybe reincorporate you?
And we will. We do want to hear your story.
Yeah.
And we will share the story. And we will share our stories. Most of the team, we have had times where we have been less active in the church.
Right.
Nobody's perfect.
In fact, if somebody would have told me that Wayne Zimmerman would be a deacon someday, I would have said, I don't think so.
Not
in my lifetime, but it happened, folks. Yes. And of course, I was always praying my rosary and never did anything wrong. So
that's right.
I have nothing, you know, to think about. But, I will tell you this. It's kind of interesting because we've all had this journey, and I'll just share mine. Because I'm a cradle Catholic, went to, you know, Notre Dame and everything, even went to church when I was in college most of the Sundays. But I fell away when I became a middle-aged woman, 30-something woman, and it was like, well, I don't want to go. I don't have a husband to go with. I don't have kids in the school. Well, anyway, I got married, thank goodness, to a good, quote, Catholic man. Well, one day, it was Saturday, and we go to Mass on Saturdays. And I said, I just don't want to go. And he said, you will go.
Oh, my gosh.
I said, I just don't want to go to church today. I don't feel like going. I don't feel like getting dressed. I don't want to do anything. I'm staying in bed. My husband said, no, you're not. We're married. You're coming to church with me. I said, no, I'm not going to do that. Well, anyway, we have one of those Tempur-Pedic beds that goes up and down, you know. He put it on up foot and up head and turned me into a pretzel and said, I'm not letting you out until you agree. And so he forced me. But, you know, I was glad because, again, that community. I wasn't going to go on my own that day. And if I hadn't gone that week and he had allowed that to happen, I might not have gone again.
That's right.
So,
they say that one of the greatest jobs we have as a married person is to help our spouse get to heaven.
Well, my spouse,
maybe he did.
He's going to get to heaven just being married to me. I got to tell you that.
And purgatory is
he's going right through. He may be in hell. He doesn't know it. Thank you very much. Call the St. Francis Church or call 430-7792. 430-7792. Wayne Zimmerman, thank you so very much
for
what you do.